shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we believe that your presence was required in order to separate a people unto yourself by the word, as the Apostle Paul mentioned, by our gathering together unto the Lord Jesus Christ. As Brother Branham said, that was the message which he was ordained to bring. And so that's what's important tonight. We pray we might put every other thought aside, every emotion, every feeling, whatever it might be, Lord, that needs to be put aside, that we might receive an understanding of that word tonight, Lord, the true revelation as it was given. Not to understand perfectly, perhaps, Lord, as the prophet did, but to understand that portion perfectly which we are to understand, which is our part, each and every one of us, differing perhaps a little in the measure, but knowing it is the same true word in the measure of the Spirit for us. Help us in this hour. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're looking at the God of this evil age, number 3. And we notice in this message, the same as in some other messages of Brother Branham's, wherein he brings out the thought of how important that particular message or part of the message was to us. And I think perhaps that the reason he did that is because, as in this particular one concerning the Antichrist, the God of this evil age, we might be a little prone to think that we have a pretty good handle on it. And by having a pretty good handle on it, we would make a very grave error, perhaps in more than one direction, two or three for all I know, but at least by feeling we have a good handle on it, we would not be impressed by what he was saying as so much as by what we were thinking, and we could be wrong, very much so. Our revelation could be, therefore, void of life, because only the true Word of God has life in it. But unless it's the Word for this hour, the life would have gone out of it. So, thinking many times then that we know a subject very well, we're not prone to listen as rapt as we ought to, and then he could be saying things that we would not necessarily denigrate or lay to one side, but because of the simplicity of it, and the emphasis putting on a particular thing which we don't necessarily feel should be emphasized, then again we would be, as a tangent to the message, we would not be then completely centralized but tangential, which means we'd be going off entirely. So you think of that as we go along, because we'll be looking at the very thing I'm saying here, that Brother Branham draws our attention to the importance of what is being said, and we could be very prone to think, well, why is he doing that? Because I don't think that's so terribly important. You see, that's the trick of the devil. It's just where Eve got thrown completely. So we want to watch everything Brother Branham says, what he says, how he says it, as well as why he is saying it. Of course, why he's saying it is to give us an understanding in this hour. Now, last Sunday, it was established by Brother Branham that Revelation 18 and verses 1 through 4 were the same as Revelation 3, 14 to 18. And here's what he said: after these things I saw another messenger come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Now this is the church, the true bride church, coming out of the church, nominal, Christian, so on, which is Babylon. Now, the condition of that church, according to Brother Branham, and is very, very true, is also found in Revelations, the third chapter, and he goes to verses 14, 18, and unto messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things that the Amen, the faithful and true, and it's the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. And that is true. She's fornicated with the merchants and the kings of the earth. She's in a position of worldwide prestige. And she has her own way, and she's got it made. And don't think she hasn't, because that's exactly the truth here. I don't need anything. Now watch. Knowest not. See? Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Get rid of your own counsel now. I'm going to counsel you, says God the attorney. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now they got all the gold in the world, but they haven't got this one. They don't have it. See, that thou mayest be rich. Rich increased in goods. They've been trafficking. As you'll notice, if you read further in chapter 18, it mentions all the various things that they are trafficking in, and you can see it's a worldwide commerce. They're literally in the driver's seat, and the church is in control, and everybody's happy, hallelujah, because this is God's church, and he will certainly come down with his blessing and take it over and reign. Because the church is it. Now, you're going to, this is what he says here. And he says here, that's not true at all. You come to me that you can get the white raiment, you don't have it, that you may be clothed, you're naked, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve. Now, that sounds as though she's already got the eye salve. That's entirely erroneous. That's not what the Bible says. You go to the original Greek, and it's telling you to come and get the eye salve. It's a poor translation here. That's all there is to it. That thou mayest see. In other words, without that particular eye salve, which is actually a poultice with broken breadcrumbs, which is the word of God broken to the people, this one could not be able to see. So here you are. As Brother Branham said, this church in Revelation is the one we're talking about here, the Laodicean church, the seventh church of the seventh church age. Now, it is at this time of utmost corruption that is shown to us here that Revelation 18 and 4 takes place. Come out of her, my people. So, you see, the cup of iniquity of the church must be filled. And is being filled at the same time of the sodomite condition in the land. There's lots of things you've got to put together. As Brother Branham said, all the events aren't in. Why, he said, when he spoke on the seals, he was telling us, he said, it could be 100 years, 50, 25, 10, maybe yet tomorrow. Well, it couldn't be tomorrow, because he'd already said the events aren't in. And then talking about 1977, he said it would have to push awfully hard to make it. When many people were preaching, it had to be 77, I took my cue from the prophet. I said, the events aren't in. Don't care what anybody says. 1977 doesn't do it. One fellow said, I'll be gone. The fellow said, I'll be drinking coffee with you tomorrow morning. Well, the guy would have had to quit drinking coffee. That's 13 years ago. Amen. See, look at, God's not dealing with fruitcakes. I mean, amen. We've been kind of in a centrifuge like a batter, but don't get confused. Take your lead from the prophet. Now, notice the events today are just coming into this prime condition of the church. And the condition has been growing so that at the time of the complete takeover, the bride would have to be out of her. See? Now, this is the same as Matthew 25 and 6, where Jesus is speaking. concerning the kingdom, the wise and foolish virgins. And he says in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. See? Now, they were slumbering and sleeping at that particular time of the tarrying. Now, if you want to swing over quickly to Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. All right, now. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and were sleeping. Now, you'll notice that the church is absolutely asleep as concerning its condition. See? Now, someone might say, well, I tell you what, I knew all of this before there was a prophet. Now, that's the thing I'm trying to tell you, why Brother Branham keeps drawing your attention to this sermon, which you could put down as just, well, not too great a sermon. See? And thereby being lulled by your own foolishness and deceit, self-deceit, you can miss the truth that he makes this an outstanding message. Now, I don't believe he's the kind of guy that comes along like the fellow I told you about a week or two ago, and he got in the pulpit, and the way he told me how he could preach, I figured this guy is a world beater. And he'd get up there, and he'd wind up, he's coming. Oh, the great cannon shot is coming. And I could see this big Bertha there, and I could see the Sherman tanks and the huge shells, and wind up. Three times in a row. He didn't have any big artillery. I'm going to tell you, this sermon will go to you if you're not careful. Now, it's good to be warned. Now, don't think you're going to hear anything tremendous now. Any big burst that's going off. That's where you're going to get fooled. We all must listen to what the prophet says and how he says it. Now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And at midnight, verse 6:25 of Matthew again, now the second verse, there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say cometh, that's not in the Greek. And that should be in italics. So you can cross it out. Just like in Hebrews 2, where it says concerning Christ dying for all, it's considered sons. It's not in there as it says. Now, it doesn't say go out, it says come out to meet him. Because the voice is not inside, the voice is outside. So this is a mistranslation because you can use that word in the Greek, either coming or going. So there's somebody outside, and we already know in Revelation, if you hear my voice, open the door, we're going to have a communion. But the church does not open the door. So you got to go without the camp, as the prophet said. And going without the camp is leaving what you have already been indoctrinated into and what you believe and take an association which is foreign to association you have, though you believe you already have the association that this voice is saying, come on out and get. So the church thinks it's got Christ and hasn't got Christ. And he's forming a line saying, who is on the Lord's side? Come on out. So, all right, they're going to come out. Now, this is manifesting the grace of God in spite of the sodomite condition, which is what Brother Branham wants us to understand. He sort of stumbled over it. Why, he said, who would think in this terrible day of evil, this evil age, which is the only age ever mentioned in the Bible as being that evil age, and that all this condition, he said that God would come forth in grace. Now, what you're looking at, then, is something terribly specific as concerning grace, which is not, pardon the expression, the run-of-the-mill understanding of grace. In other words, it's not everyone that can come to Jesus can surely come. And the blood is there, and the Holy Spirit is there, and the water is there, and all these things are there. And hey, we've been through it, and glory to God, this is it. Glory to God, that is not it. Now, that time, Big Bertha didn't go, you got the bomb, whether you knew it or not. That's not it. Because it says, leaving the principles of the doctrine. You're going to come to the great one who's not a doctrine.
Amen.
And that's where the presence is, and that's where people can't see it. Not to be different, but we are different. Now, we notice that only the elect or wise virgin come out and are aware or awakened out of their sleep. And they're in sleep there. The bridegroom tarried and slumbered, and he slumbers in. Now, Brother Branham put that through seven church ages. That is very true. There are wise and foolish virgin that are sleeping in the dust. But tell you what, you can put that there, which is true, you can do it. But he's referring to people coming out of Babylon at this particular time. And this, in my understanding, is not the resurrection. This is a preface to the resurrection, and the resurrection is a part of it. Because they go into the marriage supper, and as they go into the marriage supper, there's a divorce. I used to know my wife, but I don't know his wife anymore, and that's not white throne. That's right now in this age. So you see what you're looking at. Okay. Now, they are awakened out of their sleep. And they come forth with an understanding of their condition as is set forth in Revelation 3:16 and 17, which we read. They know that they're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind because they've come out and find themselves to be so upon the authority of the voice that called them out. And the voice that called them out is the same voice that John heard and turned around to see. And what did Brother Branham see? He said, what did he see? He turned to see if it was a scriptural voice. Now, what if John had said, well, I don't think that's a scriptural voice. I can tell you right now, he never was the one called by God then. Because the sheep always hear the voice. There's no such thing as a fully ordained, predestinated prophet of God who doesn't know these that. And this man was never a prophet, he was just a scribe. Although Brother Branham did call him a prophet, he gave him that category just because he put him along with Paul receiving a vision. But John was not a prophet, he was a scribe. He wrote down what he saw. And gave him perfect recall by Almighty God. Brother Branham explained that to you. Honest, you got to just understand. Brother Branham says one thing one time, another thing another time. He's not confusing and he's not contradicting himself. He's just explaining according to the conditions. You know what you got to really go. Now it was a great prophecy. That's right, it was a prophecy. But he was a scribe, and he saw what he's supposed to put down. Okay, now he calls them out of their sleep at this end time. Now, if you want to, you can go to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and, well, let's look at something here. Now, the book of Ephesians is Alpha, wherein the Apostle Paul is calling out a Gentile church from its idolatry and its paganism, which is Babylon. Yep. And Rome. Rome is Babylon. Now watch what he says. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In other words, they're following something else before. And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now watch. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And don't let anybody deceive you by vain words as they speak opposite to this. For because of these things mentioned up here cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are made light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In other words, God has a way of bringing things to bear upon the people so that they know what is right and what is wrong. In other words, he shows them. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Like I said many times, when you put your hand upon a stove to see if it's hot or cold, and it's hot, you see the light right now. That's what it is. It's, in other words, it's proven what is the truth. He's saying right here that God does it. Now remember that Paul told these people, he said, it was proven to you by my miraculous ministry that God vindicated this word and answered back to my word, thus saith the Lord, proving I have the word of God. Amen. Now let's look at it. Now watch. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now the Babylonian church was dead back there and is dead today. There's never been a change. So then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, that was the condition of the Alpha Church. You want to know the Omega condition? I know you do. So let's turn back to Revelation chapter 22. Now, here's your first. Here's your verse 9, verse 8. And I, John, saw and heard these things. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that said these things. That would be idolatry. John was literally caught up in an idolatrous act. And he said, see, you don't do it. This is an act of humility. This is an act of grace. This is a great man who saw great things. And he said he wanted to fall down. And he said, hold it! John could have been an idolater. Well, think it over. Come on. If he'd have worshipped him, he'd have been an idolater. You know why? He said, hey, he said, I'm a prophet. I don't care if anybody else says you believe the word. And you don't try to twist and get your own understanding. There's enough understanding to know this. He said, don't do it. I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So he stopped him from idolatry. Now let's get the next verse. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. The book unsealed. Revelation 10 and 4 no longer closed. The book is now open. And at that time, notice, he that is unjust still. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. I just read this over to you here in the fifth chapter concerning the Alpha Church. They stood right there with the righteous and the unrighteous, the holy and the unholy, the virtuous and the wicked, the idolater and the true worshiper stood right there in that first church age. And Brother Branham categorically said, there could have been a rapture, but the bride was not filled. It wasn't time. So what happens? At that particular time, they begin to drift. Now notice what he says. Here. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Okay. Watch. Chapter 22, 18. For I swear to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues written therein. And if any man shall take away from the words of prophecy of this book, the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and those things that are written therein. And surely I come quickly. And you notice in here, that Paul, speaking in the first church age, was calling out a bride that was already there. He didn't say, bless God, I'm going to go down amongst those Ephesians down there. And you watch and see by that word of God, hallelujah, I will create a church, bless God. And I will bring in them sinners, bless God, them old reprobates down there that didn't know God and have got no seed of God. You watch my smoke and I go down with this holy word of God. Hogwash. That's the biggest bunch of malarkey I've heard in my life. There's people writing this message trying to preach that nonsense. You don't get down there and get nobody but the sheep. I'm using bad English and grammar, so may you forgive me and the rest. I'm doing it on purpose. I know, hit from hate and all the rest of it. Don't worry. That's what they're pulling off. Paul said, I'm bringing you out of Babylon, the first church, which is the Alpha Church that Brother Branham said categorically was set in order. It had to be, because they had God in a pillar of fire and the prophet. And they had the sheep. What more do you want? Now he said, here, you better wake up. Now he said, here, you come apart from those guys, awake you the sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Now he's not talking to those that have already awakened. There's a bunch down there that haven't awakened up. So he's waking up the sleeping wise virgin. Now you got the same thing at the end time, because Alpha is Omega. What I'm trying to show you there is that what you had in the beginning was a system of complete idolatry. You've got at the end time, call it Christian if you want. I don't care what you call it. It's like the guy said about Hinduism. He said, all it is Eastern baloney cut Western baloney style. That's all it is. And you can call it Christianity. It's nothing but idolatry. Any man kiss the Pope's toe in his ring. Swear allegiance to a church. All that kind of hyper-nonsense. And Paul had it. Now he said, listen, light comes, and that light is by manifestation. It means it is something that is proven. Those heathen could prove nothing. They had a philosophy. And yours based upon sex. You haven't got one false religion not based upon sex. Because that's where the action is. It always was there and it's always going to be there. So don't be naive and think that's all I can preach about, because the Bible's plumb full of them, so is the Word. If you're so stupid, you don't belong here. Go someplace else and hear something nice. And you're just kidding yourself. And who needs you? You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be dirty and mean to anybody, but come on, look. You don't need to just sit here and be a hypocrite around me. He said, it's even a shame to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. He said, it's a crime. I got to drag it out and talk about it. They were a bunch of heathen, idolaters. And at the end time, they've got the same idolatry, because Alpha is Omega and you can't change it. Now he said, here, see that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now he says, but be wise, not unwise. In other words, let the wise virgin begin to understand the truth, and that truth is based upon a manifestation which is vindication. So, all right. Now, you go on down further. And it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves and your own husbands unto the Lord. For as the husband is head of the wife, Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, and so on back and forth. Now watch, in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That is a future thing that even these people here in the first church age already had. They had to look down to when that would come, because what they had was not sufficient. Paul already taught that in the first chapter, when that spirit would come into the church. See, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's the church that he's going to present to himself. And when he does, you will see the Eden condition. Eden, the government of God upon earth, was invaded by the serpent. That wasn't his garden. He had no place being there. He walked right in. And the Bible says in Ezekiel, he said, thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. The serpent was there. Satan was there. He was the manifestation of Satan. And he was a beast. Exactly what he was. And there stood the tree of life. There stood everything right there. See? In other words, you see the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see the epitomization of good, which was in the tree of life, and you see the epitomization of evil, which was in the tree of the good of the knowledge of good and evil, which means a perversion. So he got a perversion. The end time, the church is completely perverted. And it's run by perverts. You watch how California takes that woman, Feinstein, to be the governor. You say, Brother Bill, will you take odds? How much you got bet? I might walk out of here a very wealthy man. Of course, you know I'm joking on purpose to get the point across. She'll win. She'll win. She'll win. She's got the charisma. She wears high heel slippers. Makes her wiggle just right. That's nasty, not nasty at all. Now, Matthew 25 and 5, we look back here, is literally, in much of it, a symbol, a semi-symbolic. The bridegroom tarried. There's slumbering going on. See? Even as Revelation 3:17 is symbolic. And yet it's very true, but it's talking of spiritual conditions. Now, notice that we see the same thing in the book of 1 Thessalonians. In the 5th chapter, verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So it tells you that these people are not only sleeping, but they're stupefied by drunkenness. And it speaks of the woman who drinks much wine. The church that is drunk from its own intoxication. You're not drunk. As Paul said, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit. They are not full of the Spirit, but they think they are full of the Spirit. And they're completely drunken, intoxicated by their own revelation. Now he said, don't be that way. Now watch. This follows 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. But the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I write to you. And this is the time of the appearing. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, what are they doing at night? They're drinking themselves into a stupor, and they're sleeping. That's the time that he comes. The time of his appearing, that he knocks on the door and says, come out of her, my people, and don't stay any there longer, which is the appearing. This church is thoroughly drunken in idolatry. Because in Christianity, you don't booze it. And you don't whore it. That's idolatry. We're teetotalers. You don't come and join a church around here and drink and smoke and everything else. Or you can come and sit if you want. There's no church to join anyway. But hey, look, don't kid yourself. You got to stay with the Word of God no matter how it cuts you. Stay with the Word of God. And when they shall say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction as travail upon the womb of child, and they shall not escape. Now what are they talking about? They're talking about the fact that church has got to give birth. There's going to be a coming forth of a life. And at that particular time, they're going to talk peace and safety. Sudden destruction is going to come. Now, that sudden destruction can only come at the time that the church really takes over and is beginning to take over right now in the form of Catholicism. You're getting it pretty fast. Now, it says here in verse 4, but brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, so, in other words, the bride wakes up. She comes out. She knows what's going on. The rest are deceived. They say they know what's going on, but they don't know what's going on. And in not knowing what is going on, they blaspheme. Look, don't you understand that the Antichrist is a blasphemer? Then he's going to have nothing but blasphemous people in his church. Blasphemous names, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecost, and all the rest of them. They're all going to be there. And they will all be blasphemers. And I've heard people preaching this message, blaspheme the presence of Almighty God. They don't even know what they're talking about. Brother Branham said something about a certain woman. I won't mention her name. I couldn't tell it. I wasn't told the name anyway to tell anybody. But he said, if you can only look at her soul, it's as black as night. You ought to hear what she's got to say. But a certain preacher said, that's what Brother Branham said about me, and I found out different. Now let's just cut the thing the way it is. You sit around here thinking you're engaged in a battle, and you're hardly beyond combing your hair. Get engaged. You'll know where you stand pretty soon. There'll be a pressure on you. There's pressure on me. At times I wonder if I'm going to be in this pulpit even preaching. But you'll get your pressure too. Don't worry. Because it's got to come. Tells you right here now. It says, you are the children of light and the children of the day. What day? The eighth day. You're born in seven, but you don't belong here. So now you're not going to die. You're going to walk into it. Therefore, let us not sleep as do the others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep at night. Everything is dark to them. They're completely lulled into sleep. Not aware of anything. After the high priest Caiaphas and his gang did what they did, the only reason they might have lost any sleep was wondering, could that bird have paid somebody or done something sneaky to get out of the tomb or act as though he weren't dead or something? They didn't have one qualm of conscience. They knew they were right. And the Bible said they would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they'd have known, but they didn't know. And I ask you a question. What God is it that blinds the people's eyes? It's the God of this world. And what God blinded their eyes back there? Israel, I'm talking about. The church. The God of this world. That's why Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do, because I've been watching you. And Brother Branham said that was the holiest city and the holiest people. Had the one true holy God. They're the most despicable ones of the works. Now, you can see them what we're looking at here. Now, remember, what I read in chapter 5 follows chapter 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this we send it by the word of the Lord, that's thus said the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not prevent or go before or hinder in any wise take precedence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message. That's a klusma. That's a putting in order. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. That's crowning King of kings and Lord of lords. And will ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, come on there. Then he describes those conditions that I have been describing. When Brother Branham said the Revelation 18, 1 to 4 was exactly the same as Revelation 3, 14 to 18, which we read. Now, at this point, on page 13 and paragraph 40, rather 12 and 47, Brother Branham begins to comment on the nakedness of women as showing the condition of the church. Now, here is what? Where the Pentecostals couldn't take it. And here is where women can't take it because they don't know what he's driving at. So now Brother Branham, he's a woman hater. And this business of women naked, we've heard enough. And the high heels, we've heard enough. So therefore we close our ears, we plug our ears, and we close our eyes, and we say, well, I'm different. You bet you are. I've got I'm not going to say, hey, you're a genuine bride. What do you think? You think I'm crazy up here? I got an answer for all you people. Every time you come here, I got an answer at the white throne. And it's white throne right now. Because you see, there ain't no place else to go. Brother Branham absolutely declared that that one in that robe was the Ancient of Days, which was Daniel. Vision. So I'm not going to change anything. You do what you want. That's fine by me. You say, Brother Vail, you're going to be judged. Oh, absolutely. And I intend to stand without being blown away, too. Paul the Apostle stood there and he said, I'm free of all men's blood. I have not failed to declare the full counsel of God unto you. And William Branham said the same thing. And I'm going to say the same thing on the grounds that I can only declare to you what I get from Brother Branham. Now listen to what he says here about women being... Now he said in 747, notice here, thou art naked. Let that soak real deep. I know I may have much disagreement on this thought. Hogwash, he had every disagreement on it. He had real deep disagreement. But it's got to a place that a Christian can hardly walk out of his house and not be brought in the presence of this evil age by insufficiently dressed women. And yet at this very time he talks of this, and I didn't read it to you, on page 11 from paragraph 45, about a young man who got saved at this wicked hour. So the grace can bring people into the kingdom, and those that are already knowledgeable concerning a true rebirth can come to the light, because they're children of light. Now, women, I'm going to say this, and I want you to listen. And men and women, you might disagree with this, but I feel led to say it. Did you know any woman that undresses herself like that is not in her right mind? Do you know she is, whether she believes it or not, or thinks it or not, she's a prostitute? Though the woman might stand with her hand before God and swear she's never been touched by any man other than her husband, and that might be the honest truth, but she's still a prostitute. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusts after her, committed adultery with her already. Now, Brother Branham is not taking the heat off the man who is constantly on the lookout to make with some woman. He's not taking the heat off of men. He's just saying, women, if you present yourselves the way a man already is, you are a prostitute, because that's what a prostitute does. She's out there with her red light. She's out with her paint and powder. I've seen them years ago back when I was a kid in Canada. She's out there looking as hard as they can possibly paint it up, and she stands there and entices you in. So the woman that takes her clothes off in public and exposes herself, she is definitely doing what a prostitute does. Now you do what you want about it. I don't care what you do. Start taking your clothes off now. Go ahead. Anybody got the piano and do a boogie woogie for you? They did it at the time of Moses. God and the pillar of fire and the prophet standing there. They got the golden calf and began undressing themselves and dancing and have sexual affairs. Why does the woman take her clothes off anyway? See, he said, I'm going to read it like the prophet said it. I'm not going to. And I'll emphasize it too, because it's the truth. That's my job. He said, break it down and feed them. But I hope I don't have to take anybody by the nose and shove it down your throats. You always spit it back in my face, but that's all right. I'm used to that. My wife and I had kids. I was there getting my hands in their feces the same as she was. I changed her diapers and washed them, everything else. Don't worry. So if you spit in my face, it's no big deal. I've had worse than that happen. Though the woman might stand with her hand before God and swear she never been touched by anybody, her husband, she's still that woman. See, she's naked, the Bible said, and doesn't know it. The spirit that's anointed her to do such a thing is an evil prostitute spirit. Her outward being, her physical body, her flesh, she might be clean. She might not commit adultery and could swear to God, and that be the truth. She never has. But her spirit is a prostitute spirit. She has been so blinded by the god of this world of fashion, she dressed herself sexually and got out there. Now, first of all, the word in the Hebrew for naked is aram, which means smooth. And the human body is a smooth body that people revel in. The woman revels in it, her body, the man in his, and together they revel in each other. It's smooth. And it means cunning. That's the basic word. So therefore, when you see a woman begin to take her clothes off and remove and note it, so that she can reveal the smoothness of her body, her texture, she has something very cunning in mind. Whether she knows it or not. Now you say, Brother Bale, I don't really believe that. See, I've been guilty and am guilty taking my clothes off. But that's it. You're deceived. And a deceived person thinks it's right. That ought to help somebody. I don't know. In the Greek, the word naked means entirely or almost nude. Now, a woman entirely nude, back when I was a kid, 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, 8th Avenue East in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, like all boys, we ran down to see what's going on. Well, I didn't go in. I went down peeking. Now, if one of those gals had taken all her clothes off, they'd have put her in the paddy wagon and given her electric shock. But you take part of your clothes off, you get good money for it. Yeah. See what I'm talking about? Naked and don't know. Also, do you understand? When Peter, I think it was Peter or John, threw his coat off and jumped in the water naked, that doesn't mean he was there with everything hanging out in plain view. He had a loincloth on. That was considered naked. She's naked. She has a prostitute spirit. She'd been so blinded by the god of this world of fashion, fashion. Brother Branham said the devil formed Eve and he hasn't stopped fashioning her. And he's talking about woman now. And let me tell you something. He didn't let the man go either. He made the man only too happy to see the woman take her clothes off and he'd encourage it. Until today, I can't understand women's lives. They're completely destroyed, and they're so happy about it. And the man stands back laughing his fool head off. Let me tell you something. If I was a man in the world, say, in my 20s, that's a good age. That's your best years. Up to 32. Well, you know, you understand physiology, same as I'm not hiding anything. Hey, man's got it made. Women are complete suckers and complete fools, taken in. And they're taken in by the church the same way, and they're manifesting it. She dressed sexily, and she's gone out there. What's wrong with this woman? She must have a wrong understanding. She's got wrong directions from somebody. In other words, she doesn't even know that she's naked. Now, let me tell you something. Brother Branham says that spirit, she has a spirit of a prostitute. She got a prostitute spirit. Perfect. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that the soul is the nature of the spirit, and he qualified it by saying, giving it an atmosphere. So, therefore, what is in the soul is going to give an atmosphere to the spirit. That spirit that received your body when you dropped from your mother's womb, already having a soul, but the body was not ignited and thrown into life until that time, that moment. You know what I'm saying? Now, what is in that woman's soul that makes that spirit want to go right out here and do those things? That's absolutely sexy. Well, I'll tell you, it's a bankrupt soul. No woman can be born again. Now get this flat. No woman can be born again and engage in such tactics. Now we're talking of the church as well as women. Now you got to understand what I'm saying. I'm not throwing off on women and letting the men go free. Don't for one minute. Because Brother Branham categorically said it's coming up pretty soon when everything's going to fall back on the devil. Because he's the guy that started the whole thing anyway. Now, the other day, Brother Wood and I were putting our boat in the river. We're going to get away from the house a few minutes to go up the river. Wherever we went, we could see women with these little bunches of he talked about their dress. And wherever you went, women with these little bunches of bikinis or something around them, that's a disgrace. A woman can't be in her right mind and put on anything like that. She is possessed with a prostitute spirit. Now, you settle that with God, lady, because you'll find out someday that that is the truth. Now, way back in Brother Branham's day, he talked about the fact there was a song, and I used to sing it myself, and so no doubt he didn't sing it, but he knew it was being sung. The old song, Roll 'em, Girlies, Roll 'em. Now, the old song was, don't let you, what is it? I forget now. It's a Roll 'em, Girlies, Roll 'em, Roll Your Own. Don't let people tell you that is shocking. Paint your sweetie's picture on your stocking. Laugh at Ma, laugh at Pa, give them all the ha ha. Roll 'em, girlies, roll 'em, roll your own. And in those days, I knew the preacher's daughter. Her name was Dalgleish, because her dad's name was Dalgleish. And she had her knees conveniently exposed, so the guy that was very lecherous, he could put his hand on her knees and she'd giggle. I'm not saying the guy might not have put his hands on knees anyway, because I don't care if they had hoop scoots or 1,700 petticoats and a chastity belt. A man will still get to a woman. But I'm talking where the thing started. And that was the hour of the flapper. And Brother Branham said, your mother was a flapper, and the daughter, you are a whore. A prostitute. Rough language? Oh, I don't know if it's rough language. I'm not given to being too rough. Or am I? Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Let's read about the Thyatiran age when the Catholic Church had full dominion. And under the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. That's the same one that's coming. The Ancient of Days. I know thy works and thy love and thy service, thy faith and thy patience, thy works, the last to be more than the first. You talk about love, but ye ain't God. It's just a big works church. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And now this old gal was leading the pack. Prostitute. An idolater. One who was a madam. And she taught her daughters how to please men. Oh, she's a real madam. Best little house of prostitution in the whole universe, Roman Catholic Church. Amen. Commit fornication, eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now, this is the old flapper. She's out there exposing herself, and this is where the whoredom started. Because that's when the men started to get loose. And that was at the time that my own mother wore floor sweepers and had just gotten over the button-type shoe. I can tell you one thing. I got the Miller sisters there. They'll tell you their mother had floor sweepers on, the old gal skirt right down past her ankles, right? Most of her life anyway. Maybe she let them up a little while later on. But I can tell you, my mother had her skirts past her ankles and they swept the floor. It was the same time a woman came to our town known to be a harlot. And she had a tailor make herself a man's suit. You're looking at old grandpa up here, 76 years old coming on, but I got the history. I'm all the way from the horse and buggy to the jet age, kid, and don't fool yourself, because I is. All the way from when the old whore became a real whore. And her daughters took on the same picture and attitude. Now, who is the pappy and who's the husband? The God of this world. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now, listen, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of these, and I will kill her children with death. That's the second death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. That's William Branham in Hebrews 4 and 12. Under discernment. Now this man is laying this out. He's saying, you women watch your step. And the women say, when he talked about it. I was out either San Bernardino, one of the places in California in 1965, just prior to his death. And I've told you before. And he said, you women, I tell you, don't cut your hair. And don't do this with your clothes. Take them on off. And every time I come back, he said, you're worse than everything. He said, I felt, you know, listen, I'm a pretty vulgar person. Don't think for 1 minute I haven't told dirty jokes and couldn't even tell them now. You're not looking at a saint up here, looking more of a hate. But even I was embarrassed. Ready to vomit over the situation, those women, in the face of a prophet, in the pillar of fire. Dancing like the prostitutes at the time of Moses. The mixed multitude. Yet I see churches, they won't listen to their pastors. No, they can't do that. Every excuse to have their dress this way and heels that way and everything else. No matter what I tell you. I tell you about the arrow. The arrows mark the spot. You get an arrow to the bust, you get an arrow here. Watch your skirts this way, that way. And I look at you women, and your husband, don't do a thing. What's the matter with you, man? You will account to God, and you're counting tonight in my presence, the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
You do what you want. You're going to be the loser, because you're already the loser. My poor wife. You really don't love her. You don't love her. You do right by her. Let's get this down flat. I'm not preaching for fun. I'm not preaching for money. The reins of the heart. But I'm just under the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. I'll put this another burden upon you. What was the depth of Satan? Right into absolute adultery. And adultery ends up in homosexuality. Because once you give rein to sex outside of God's ordained laws, you will want nothing but thrill upon thrill upon thrill until no woman will satisfy you. Brother Branham said the serpent satisfied Eve as no man could do it. See, so today you're getting vulgar. Am I getting vulgar? Come on. You know what vulgar is yet. You wait till the white throne comes. You got to stand right there and everything flashes across the street. Even my wife can't understand why I put everything on the table. Because I don't want it heralded from heaven when I get there. Let it be spoken now. If I'm a fraud and a phony, I'd sooner know it now than down the road. Just the way it is. I'm not mad at anybody. Not at all. Now listen, I'll put another burden upon you. What was he trying to get the church out of? The false prophetess. And their constant fornication and adultery. Idolatry in plain English. He tried to get the church out of idolatry. And it can't come out of idolatry. Because she took the time that God gave her and she did not repent. During that 900 years or so darkness under the Catholic Church, God sent her great men. She turned everyone down. Till one day Luther came and struck her to the foundations. And under Luther, she'd been hanging over the pit of hell and she roasted in it. So will every Protestant daughter that played the harlot with her. Don't tell me they won't, because they will. Blasphemous names. I'm Methodist. I'm Presbyterian. I'm a Branhamite, hogwash. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all vindicated prophet. And that's as far as William Branham goes. Pray in his name and do what you want. I'm not sucked in by that nonsense. God never made me to be a fool. He said, someday you'll know that's the truth. How could you, a lady, knowing how sacred your body is? A sacred body. That's word for the men. Women rise up and come against the men, taking them even to court because they're sexist. And the men are. Where does it leave the men? I'm not trying to work a principle of compatibility and what God gave into a marriage. I'm not taking any of that away. William Branham didn't. And nobody does. Paul didn't, and nobody does. But let's remember, the body is more than meat, and the life is in is more than raiment. He said, your body is sacred. And watch, and to expose it out there to these lustful, sinful devils that walk the street of this day. I said, how could you be a lady? Call yourself a real lady. Genuine feminine woman. Not some old spittoon or garbage can, like he called a sex disposal. If sons of God were all still sons of God, and if your husband was a son of God, he'd either make you put clothes on or leave you. If a boy was a son of God, he'd never marry such a thing. See, you say you're making that up. No, I'm telling you the truth. And someday you'll meet it. Naked adulteresses and don't know it. See, what happens is you go one step, you'll go another one. That's the whole trouble. Cut your bangs, you'll soon have it all cut regular. You know, it's the funniest thing, young girls think they can fool the old gals in any congregation. You got to be stupid, young girls. Your mother, she's too blind to see because she's involved with you. But every other one in this church knows when young girls have cut their hair, because nobody's hair grows straight across the back. Norm, they knew when your girls cut their hair. You found out when they were going around putting slacks on behind your back. You know, you're not smart doing it. You know, if that's all I had to worry about, such a stupid little thing like that, I'd be the happiest guy living. I never could understand Israel. They complained about everything and made up new rules. If all they had to do was have a few pots and pans and look forward to Christ, they'd be the happiest man living. People gag over the simplicity. What is it makes the women want to take their clothes off and the men cheer them on? It's the spirit of sex. Plain and simple, come on, name it. It's a filthy spirit. Sex in itself is not filthy, but to do this is filthy. Because now you're going past the temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple of the Holy Ghost can burn. Nothing wrong with burning even. I'm not taking one thing away from you. I'd be stupid. I'd take it away from myself. Disregard the age. For years and years ago, I talked to Brother Branham about this. I'm not telling you some stupid thing to put you under bondage. Like one guy said, he went to him categorically. And he was saying you had to bar the act entirely in marriage. You don't do it at all. Brother Branham never taught that. That's a lie. He's talking about this thing which he says is an advertisement to do something which you may not even want done to you, but it is wrong. Oh, said the woman, I swear I never trespassed the vows of my husband. Your husband will judge you for it if you did, said Brother Branham. But God will judge you by what kind of a spirit you've got in you. Not judge you by your body, but by your spirit, that inner man. Now, you know that man is tripartite. He's body, soul, and spirit. And we've discussed that very, very thoroughly. And let us understand this, that the spirit that regulates the mind and the body actually gets its help or non-help from the soul. Now, let's read what Brother Branham says to give you some understanding. Paragraph 53, the outside man is a physical being which is controlled by five senses. The inside man is a spirit man. And it's got two parts. Remember that. That's soul and spirit, and also the mind is in there, which is a functional thing, which is organic. But it has life in it, which makes it tremendous, great in your computer. The inside man is a spirit man, which is controlled by five senses, conscious, love, and so forth. The outside man, see, taste, feel, smell, hear, five senses. But the inside of that spirit is a soul, and it's controlled by one thing, your free will. You can accept what the devil says or accept what God says. Now, isn't that exactly true about Eve? Well, come on. Where was the coercion? She'd given a choice. So she went the wrong way. See? It's controlled by one thing, your free will. And Brother Branham said that's true. He said that's where it lies there. You can accept what the devil says or accept what God says. You can take what the devil says, take what God says. And that'll determine what spirit's in there. Now hold it. When you begin using language like that, you better be careful what Brother Branham's really saying. Because, hey, listen to me. If you didn't have it way back in him, before the foundation of the world, you don't have it now. So what you say and do doesn't determine what's in there. But what we say and do is a testimony to what is in there. That's right. Don't come this far and miss it. Now, that determines what spirit's in there. If it's the Spirit of God, it'll feed on the things of God. It won't feed on anything of the world. Jesus said, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not even entered into this inner part. Satan's deceived you, and man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, this is real scriptural teaching that Brother Branham is giving. And you notice this word love here cannot be a love that people just use and say, well, I believe that's love. It's got to be the love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And there's only one conduit for that love, or the Holy Spirit, and that's the Word. In other words, how in the world can anybody born again belong to a church that is completely typed by a naked woman who's out there enticing people to flesh? Because that's all it is. Put your name on the book. Pay 10%. Go here, go there, do this, do that. It won't work. Notice, now we find she is naked and lewd. Now, it isn't. If a woman was stripped of her clothes, and it wasn't her fault, she's not a lewd woman. She's just a naked woman. What is this woman stripped for? What is the church the way she is? And the world seems to be, in the most evil age it ever was. Well, it really is. He tells us that. Now listen, never in any age did women ever act like that. Never but just before the destruction of the antediluvian world. And Jesus referred to it. We'll get to that a little while later. In other words, the nakedness. Has God lost control, or is he just permitting another agency to control it? I wonder. The true answer to this question is this. To my opinion, and it's not just an opinion. I'm not interested in Brother Branham's opinion. What he thinks? When they had the first big debate on the air, and here sat Nixon looking like a complete idiot, and John F. Kennedy just as stupid. I think. I don't care what you think. Do two and two make four, or does it make five? I think. You think Brother Brown's that kind of a thinker? I can give him two bits of my time. I can think too. When we first discussed serpent seed, before he said a word, I said, well, Bill, I don't know if it means any particular act of disobedience. To me, it's just an act of disobedience. But he said, how then did the serpent seed get here? Well, of course, I didn't have an answer. I didn't care to have an answer at that time. Now I know the answer. Had to be sex. It doesn't matter what a person thinks. It's what does God think. Then the thing is, do I have God thoughts? All right. Now, he's already told us that this is an important message. Important because people slough over and say, well, I just don't know. So now he's laying a little trap right here, if you want to know the plain truth as I see it. One of those curves. To my opinion. Now, he might as well tell us the truth. He's a vindicated prophet because over here, what page is it? Oh, I don't know. Might be on page, I don't know. Coming down here, he preaches. He hits vindication like you can't believe it. So, all right, here he's telling you, to my opinion, I'm going to throw the words in, and I'm a vindicated man. There are two opposing spirits in the world today at work. Now, there can't be any more than two heads. And one of them is the Holy Spirit at work. The other is the spirit of the devil. And in these last days, it manifests itself in deception. I'm going to base my thoughts right on here on this for the rest of the message. Brother Branham says right here, there are two spirits in the world. One is the Holy Spirit, one is the devil. One brings deception, the other brings truth. But the deception is the twisting of the truth. The devil does not come on the scene with his own word. He comes on twisting it. See? That's why positively the woman with the high heel slippers couldn't make it. She was twisting and turning and arching her back. And that's a bad sign right there. Stretching her neck out. That's a bad sign there too. Mincing along. And the Bible says concerning her eyes, they were come hither eyes. She's a prostitute. Now you tell me that this woman is anything but deceived of the enemy. She's taken the word of God and she's completely perverted it. The two spirits in the world. There's only one real word, and that's God's word. Everything else is a spin-off or a perversion. One little word like not changes the whole thing. One little word like do instead of don't changes the whole thing. Of course, in the beginning it was terrible because one little word changed everything. It's not that way today. Although one little word has changed everything as far as the course of the church is concerned, they've got so much reality in there as concerning what was said, but the spin is on it. Now it's going out of control. Now he said, I'm going to base my thoughts on this, the thoughts he's going to preach from here on. I don't say he's really consistent with this, but he'll be coming along the line with this because he brings up many, many things. He said, there are two spirits in the world, and they head up two different areas entirely. One is the Holy Spirit, one's the spirit of the devil. Right in these last days, it's manifesting. What's manifesting? The spirit of the enemy is manifesting in deception. And when the people take it, let me tell you something. God puts the cap on the climax by bringing his own deception. God says, you want deception? I'll give it to you. Ever dealt with anybody that just took you too far? If that's what you want, you're going to get it. You raise kids, you'll find out they just bury you just far enough where you say, hey, it's over. You see a guy mess around, you're a girl. Pow, right in the kisser, he's got it coming to him, flatten him out like a dead fish. Say, boy, you went too far. That's exactly what God does in this age. He said, you went too far. Now, I'm going to put the cap on the climax. I'm going to put the cherry on top of the frosting. And he does. Everybody. But the wise and the foolish virgin. And the wise gets taken out of here and the foolish virgin dies. Two spirits. Now, what's the deception that God does? He just lets them believe the lie. He gives them an anointing. The son of man and the son of perdition, right together. Two ministries. And one day, that spirit in their midst is taken away and is incarnated. As we go up, the other come on down and gets his incarnation. And the whole church is fooled. That's as far as I know the Bible teaches. Maybe Brother Branham says different. I'll find it. Don't worry. But I believe the big deception is in the anointing. Because that's what's talking about, deceiving. Brother Branham took it right there. Knowing the ones of the end time. Took us right there. That's as far as we're going to go. Take 14 and 56. Tomorrow morning we'll start over again. Lord giving us the ability. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of fellowship we had over your word tonight. And we know, Lord, the prophet brought us these things and to people, Lord, especially the churches outside of the message, it's certainly a Mickey Mouse type of sermon. It doesn't have any more power, Lord, than a firecracker has alongside of a big Bertha. We know, Lord, it's not true. We know this word is full of power. Because let us get a proper understanding. We know there will not be this deception going on amongst us. There will not be these things, Lord, under any consideration. There won't be any lordship of man, lordship of woman. There won't be this, there won't be that. But there will be your lordship, Father, because that's what the Bible says. Your own Paul, the apostle, by revelation says we're going to meet our Lord in the air. That's the Lord we got. That's the headship we're looking to, the one human being. We're going to be, we believe in a bride, Lord, being part of that bride that's washed in the water of the Word. Presented without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's a tremendous thing to say. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Good start, wonderful. Baptized in water, come up, full of the Holy Ghost. At the end time, separated again by the Word for presentation. Take one, leave one. Lord, we know the church is only too well marked. Nobody needs to be fooled. Truth has been revealed. Deception has been revealed. So help us tonight, Lord, as we already prayed, that this service has been one of instruction, one of help to every single person, O God. But we pray it shall not be simply a teaching message, Lord. This is what bothers me to the nth degree, to myself, Lord, and others. How much is really sinking in, Lord, to where it is that consummate reality? Help us, O God, to come to that place, because we won't be satisfied apart from it. I won't be, Lord, and I don't believe anybody here this earnest and sincere will be satisfied apart from it, no matter anybody else does. We got to have that inner reality, Lord. We want it tonight. I don't believe, Lord, there's anything in your word that says we can't have it. I believe everything is conspiring for us to have it, because you said, come to me for the gold tried in the fire, for the eye salve, for the clothing, all these things. You can have reality. It's no longer, Lord, we're being boondoggled by somebody or being fooled. We're out of it, out of Babylon. Father, into thy kingdom and its reality. That's what we want. And in our hearts, we don't want to settle for anything less, because we know this is the truth. Help us to that end. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read the scripture and have the table of the Lord. As we do tonight, Lord will direct you. We're going to have two brethren serving the wine and just one serving the bread, so you can come by and on the table moved out. That way we'll be a little faster to get through that service. Not we're trying to rush anything, but we have a bit of a bottleneck. I think the ones in front will be instructed to come with those who play the piano, would have you. But he'll tell you how it's done. In the meantime, I think we'll just go back to the Gospel of John. And we're reading there concerning the foot washing and the table of the Lord, beginning at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, Paul had the same type of love. He said, I'd like to go and be. Get away from here. But he said, I think it's better that I stay for your sake. And it's a fact here that Jesus loved them to the end, although he wanted to go back to the Father. He prayed, you know, later on, give me the glory I had with you. Or he prayed that back in 12. But over there in John 17, he prays again in the garden to have that position. And then, of course, we're told in Philippians the position has even been exalted, which it has been. But he loved the people, and he wanted to be with them. But of course, he couldn't stay with them. And supper being in, the devil had put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in hand, that he was come from God and went to God, rise from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water in the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe in the towel where he's girded, then cometh to Simon Peter and say, Peter said, Lord, why do you wash my feet? What's going on here? And Jesus answered and said, What I do you don't know now, but later on you will be able to know. And Peter said, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now just cut him off. Then watch Simon go overboard again. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand, my head, my hands, and my head. And Jesus said, There you are. You're shooting off your mouth again. You're going overboard. You see, this is the thing that people simply can't understand, is don't go overboard. Don't add, don't take. See? Just like a guy years ago, Joe Coleman, had said, he said, in several months, he said, the Pope is going to come to America. That was thus saith the Lord. A whole lot of months went by, and the Pope didn't come. You remember that? You. So I said to a certain guy, I said, hey, Coleman's a false prophet. He got mad at me. Well, he said, several months. I said, hey, bud, how much is several? He looked at me. I said, 12 months in a year, right? He said, yeah. I said, I got 12 apples. I said, here, son, take several. And you take 9. I said, hey, boy, you pigged out. That's more than several. That's 9 out of 12. You put 3 back. Now say, hey, that's 50%. That's not several. Get the point? I said, how about 3? Looks could have killed you to kill me. He couldn't do it, so he went home and abused his mother-in-law. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I think he understands that fellow now prophesied off the top of his head or out of a heart that wasn't right with God. The Pope still, I don't think the Pope came back even. I don't know. Hey, that Pope is dead anyway. He blew it. Always going overboard. What does Brother Branham say, don't add and don't take? It means don't go overboard. He told us. He compared himself to Luther. He said, the historian said concerning Luther, they weren't marveling that he could protest the Catholic Church successfully. What they marveled at, he could keep his head above fanaticism. In other words, don't go bonkers. Don't add, don't take away. Just what it says. Peter, you just stop that nonsense. See? Then Jesus said, he that wash needeth not, save to wash feet, his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Now, you are clean, but not all. Do you think for 1 minute that Judas was an actual son of God? No. He was no son of God that suddenly went fuzzy and haywire and betrayed him. Who do you think killed Abel? Who is the killer, the betrayer? Satan and his seed. So who are the clean ones? The 11 elected. Like Brother Branham said, someday you're going to find out you weren't saved that day at all. You always were saved. There's a lot of mysteries in this book. He said right here, hey, he said, Peter, come on, come on. He said, cool it, man. Just come on, calm down, calm down. I'm washing your feet. Can't you just let it go with that? Water baptism. Or says somebody, oh, when I got baptized, hallelujah, the heavens opened, and I got gifts, and I got that, and I got this, and I got that thing. Another guy said, oh, when I got oil in my hands, it changed my life. Why don't you cool it and shut up? Find that in the Word of God. See, that's why people are all messed up. You just simply can't take what it says. Got to add to it or take from it. Water baptism ain't nothing. An answer, good conscience toward God. He wipes away nothing. Now, why are they trying to make it something? Regenerational baptism, this and that. Try to make foot washing it. Try to make Lord's Supper this. Try to make it something else. Why don't you just do what it says? See? So after he'd washed their feet and taken his garment, sat down again, he said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me Lord and Master. You say, well, for so I am. And I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet. You also ought to wash one of his feet. In other words, something everybody does. Now you go to the Catholic Church, what does the priest do? He gives you the wafer and drinks the wine. And there's 400 people there who get drunk on a hoodow. Well, the truth or not the truth? I thought everybody took wine and water and the bread. Well, why do you want to change things? What's the big deal? It says here, if I am your Lord and Master, and he that's greatest of all, a servant of all, everybody ought to be willing to do something for somebody because the love of God constrains us. So washing feet doesn't make anybody big, anybody small. It levels everybody. Who's the great one in our midst? God's the great one in our midst. Not especially as though he's here. Now, don't think that for 1/5 of a second. The great one in the midst of the bride, wherever the bride is. And the purified, I can't see it. I don't know what it is. I wouldn't look for it in this building. I wouldn't believe it would be here, but somebody's else. But he's here. Amongst his bride. The great leveler. That's all he's saying here. Wash each other's feet. See? For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done. Then he said, the servant's not greater, Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy that I do them. Just simple. Foot washing. Command to God. Same with the Lord's Supper. Command to God. And I believe, like Brother Branham, everybody that does it should be full of the Holy Ghost. And the only evidence I know of being full of the Holy Ghost to believe this is the only message there is. Because the only vindicated one. You say, Brother Vail, they all get it out of here. I don't care if they do. How do you think they crucified Jesus? Getting it out of here. Yeah, no problem. Where do you think these guys get this polygamy stuff? Right out of Brother Rand's messages. It ain't in there. It never was in there. Polygamy always has been with us. It's always been polygamy. But God doesn't want it. Anyway, that's it. Simple as ABC. Let's rise this time. Now, if the brethren come forward ready to serve here, we'll ask the Lord to bless the emblems. And the Lord will tell you exactly how to do what we're going to do here because they'll move the table out. Those who are supposed to come forward, you come on forward this time. Before we pray. Heavenly Father, at this time, Lord, we just take the simple things that you told us to do. We're not questioning adding. As far as we know, we don't want to embellish anything. Make something that's not. But realize, Lord, this is something you told us to do. And we're doing it just as the prophet did it. To take the communion, the bread and the wine. And then, Lord, to wash each other's feet. And that's what it is. And so we do it tonight, Father. And we're glad we can do it. Because you told us to do it. And we know, Lord, when you tell us to do something, we do it. That's a reward in itself. That's the way it should be. So grant tonight, Lord, your blessing upon each and every one. May every heart, Lord, tonight look to you for the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the washing of the water by the word to separate us right into a knitted, tight, little, unified group of bride here in this place, Lord. Not that there aren't others scattered out there. We believe that, Lord. Certainly we do. But, Lord, here to love you and then to honor you by doing what you told us to do, and we do it. We give thee the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Sanctify us all, the emblems whatsoever is done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We might just rise at this time to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your kind mercy and love to us, Lord. We just pray now as we go that we might go, Lord, with the word filling our hearts. And it may be, Father, as you said in your own scripture through Jesus Christ, that some seed fell into good ground, and it brought forth 30, 60, and 100, Father. We pray tonight that there shall not be any amongst us but is good ground, Lord, to cherish this word, and it might come forth, first of all, in that great passive and wonderful faith that we have in your works, Lord, in you, yourself, and all that you've attained for us. And then may there come forth whatever else there should be in an act of faith, Lord. Those things we can do, and assuredly, Lord, not only must do, but we will do by your grace. Keep us humble, Lord, and sweet and kind, and bring us back tomorrow, Lord, to be more united than ever with you and with each other, that we may receive the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.